One, I believe we have quorum. Call the meeting to order here.
All right, member Wap.
Here.
Member Suter.
Here.
Member Stitch, absent. Member Raymond's absent. Member Martin.
Here.
Bensky, absent. Member Banks, absent. Vice Chair Cohen.
Yeah.
And Chair Olson.
Here.
Great, the quorum.
Yay. All right, let's start off with public comment. The name's one in the room.
Big one, Robert Prince, Director of Bike East Bay. Everyone on the Bike Pack is invited to celebrate Trails Day event on April 25th. We'll be biking from MacArthur Bard over to the Bay Bridge East End Trail and up the Bay Trail, ending at Sports Basement Berkeley with free pizza. So if you're interested in learning more, go to the Bike East Bay website. The ride itself will meet up 10:30 at the MacArthur Bark on April 25th and roll out by noon. Should be a pretty fun ride. We've got a lot of registrations already, so it should be a party on the bridge.
I think the only public member in attendance physically. Do we have any paper cards?
Not.
Okay. I guess that concludes the public comment section. We can move on to the approval of March 2nd, 2026, regular meeting action minutes.
I move to approve.
I'll second.
All right. Relax.
Aye.
Suter.
Aye.
Member Stitch, absent. Member Raymond, absent. Member Markley.
Aye.
Member Lazinski, absent. Member Banks, absent. Vice Chair Cohen.
Aye.
Chair Olson.
Aye. All right. Moving right along to our first action item, a citywide speed limit update. Phil.
Hi, everyone. I'm Philip Toss, Associate Engineer with Public Works. I'm here to present to you about the proposed citywide speed limit changes for 2026. Next slide, please. All right.
Why are we doing this?
Per the California Vehicle Code, our speed limits must be supported by periodic engineering and traffic survey studies. This study surveyed 20 street corridors, which you'll see a little bit later. An ENTS study allows for fair enforcement for those drivers that are going exceedingly faster or slower than the speed the majority of drivers consider safe and reasonable. It also considers prevailing speeds. That's the 85th percentile speed, collision records, pedestrian and bicycle activity, and roadway traffic and roadside conditions not readily apparent to drivers. This is the second time the city is adjusting speed limits under the recently passed Assembly Bill 43, which allows municipalities greater flexibility in setting speed limits. Next slide, please. Here's a little bit more about AB 43. AB 43 does allow permanent 15 and 20 mile an hour speed limits. It also permits 20 or 25 mile an hour speed limits on roads and business districts. It prioritizes safety for bicyclists and pedestrians on safety corridors and on streets with high bike and ped activity. It offers local agencies more flexibility to consider vulnerable pedestrian groups when setting speed limits along corridors with senior centers or schools. Next slide. There is another process for setting speeds on local streets. Trans manual for setting speed limits updated in 2025. Cities can use this manual to set speed limits without having to conduct an ETNS or an ENTS, excuse me, on streets classified as local. That being said, it is still best practice to include local streets in engineering and traffic survey studies and to document the justifications for speed limit reductions within these studies. It helps to support our police department when they are in court justifying citations that they've issued to have these included in the ENTS studies. Next slide. So what we did was survey 20 street segments. We reviewed the AB 43 eligibility for further flexible speed reductions and reviewed a context-sensitive bicycle speed limit on the Emeryville Greenway to improve pedestrian safety. Greenway Safety, if you'll remember, was another presentation that was made to this committee last fall by our consultant, ITERS. Next slide. This map shows the existing segments with the speed limits as they currently are. 18 of the segments are 25 miles an hour, as shown in the green, and two are 30 miles an hour, shown in orange or red, however that's coming up on the screen. Slide. And these are the results of the study. The proposed map is very different, with the speed limits reducing in all the segments except for one. Emory and Powell are the only two segments at 25 miles an hour. That's a reduction in 5 miles an hour for Powell Street. All of the bike boulevards and all of the streets adjacent to parks and schools are being reduced to 15 miles an hour. So that's 45th, 47th, 59th, 61st, 62nd, Doyle, Overland, Stanford. The remaining streets were determined to be bike ped generators, local roads, or in business district, and had justification to be 20 miles an hour, either through the NTS or through an AB 43 5-mile-an-hour reduction. And those were 66th, 67th, Adeline, Beaudry, Halleck, Hollis, Toledo, Shell Mound, and Vallejo. The speed limit for the Emeryville Greenway was set at 12 miles an hour based on observed conditions, comparative agency practices, and guidance from state and national design manuals. Next slide. At the Transportation and Sustainability Committee meeting on March 10th, the committee recommended the City Council enact an ordinance adopting this engineering and traffic survey study. City Council is conducting a public hearing tomorrow night about the speed limits before adopting this ordinance. Next slide. At the same meeting, the committee also recommended that Public Works implement new trail etiquette signage on sections of the Greenway as part of the new speed limit signage installs, with the signage selected by this committee, the BPAC. And that's part of why we're here tonight. And that's to get input, direction, or a decision on trail etiquette signage for the Greenway. And now I have some pictures to show about trail etiquette. So these are some examples of some more official looking signs. In fact, the one on the far right is taken from the MUTCD. Very kind of simple, they look very official. Next slide. These are a few examples of signs with more proactive directions for what folks should do. Photo on the right shows a situation where the biker had called out and the pedestrians acknowledging the biker. Next slide. These are a few more examples. The center sign is from a segment of the Bay Trail in Richmond that Muhammad took. It's a very kind, simple message. Be kind, say hello, ride slow. Next slide. And this slide shows some signs that I think they mean well, but maybe they tried to do too much in one sign. They look very dense with a lot of information, a little cluttered to me, but they're still an option. Next slide. And these are examples of messaging, postcards, and little flyers. The one on the right is from East Bay Regional Parks. We aren't deciding, we're not doing flyers or anything like that. These are just kind of to maybe jumpstart some ideas or discussion or anything or something like that. All right, next slide. So the action, today's action, is a recommendation from BPAC on etiquette signage for the Emeryville Greenway. And I'm happy to take any questions.
Are there questions from folks?
This is for Greenway.
Mm-hmm. The whole length?
Just what?
Which
not for sidewalks, it's just for Greenway.
Just the section from like Ocean Street to Berkeley.
Where we're setting the speed limit.
So the only for the north section of the Greenway?
Mm-hmm.
Has it been decided that there will be speed limit signs and we're just deciding on the etiquette signs? Is that right?
Right. That's right.
So we are not in a position necessarily to recommend changes to the strategy on speed limits or where it's set or how it's communicated other than the etiquette signs. Is that right?
Right. That was the direction from the Transportation Committee. Transportation City Building Committee was, they wanted BPAC's input on the trail etiquette signage.
I just want to make sure we're not going to be litigating a 12-mile-per-hour speed limit here. Is that totally out of scope?
Right. No, that was brought to this committee back in September when consultant presented that at that time. That was presented then.
Right. Yeah. If I recall correctly, we advocated against the 12. I mean, okay.
There are a lot of thoughts on that.
Right. And we're not. I just want to be clear that we're. And I expected that we were going to be potentially litigating this, but we're not.
Since then, the transitions have been smooth between the sidewalk and the greenway. It's easier for cyclists to go faster in the greenway. But then that's not. We're not discussing that.
Okay.
We're not.
I just want to make sure that we don't go off a huge tangent. If that's not appropriate.
That's signage.
Are there multiple signs that are willing to be adopted? Do they just want one sign? Is it? What if we have lots of signs that are contradictory and confusing? Some with like different tones.
I think ideally one or maybe two signs is probably the ideal, just to keep it as simple as possible for our maintenance crews and just easier to replace signage when they become damaged or fall down or a bit lost. We only have one or two to replace, one or two types to replace.
Maybe since you gave us some examples, mm-hmm. we could pull up that slide again and we could kind of talk about what we like and don't like about those samples.
Sure.
Yeah, to do public.
No, you're right. Because I want to do that too.
Do we know where specifically they're going to be located? Like one each block, each direction? What is the.
I don't know the specific intervals yet. No.
Did the Transportation Committee consider making the speed limit 13 because it's a cooler number?
That would work even cooler.
It feels roughly arbitrary at 12 as it is, so why not? Especially if we're going to have a little crow emblem on it. I'm just saying. Good brain.
They did not mention the crow emblem.
Typical transportation.
Do they have a preferred sign? They come to some conclusion on their own?
No, they really did want to leave it up to BPAC.
So we can propose a crow.
I suppose you could, yeah.
A crow riding a bike.
That sounds like a children's book I had, actually.
You could have a crow a bike. All right. You have any more questions? Off topic here. Oh, a comment?
I'll make a comment. Robert Prinz, East Bay. I just want to know, I actually worked with the City of Richmond and other advocates there on their Bay Trails Common Ground signs, and that played off of a national campaign with similar signage for those assets are available publicly if anyone else is interested. There was that sign that Mohammed shared that was just like basic. There's actually other signage that's more specific as part of that as well. If you're riding on the Bay Trail in Richmond, you'll see it. And it was in response to some conflicts that are happening between especially e-bike riders and pedestrians. It's actually been, we haven't heard much about that concern since, so I think it's actually been helpful. If the city's interested in looking into it further. So this other sign says, it's more specific, it says slow traffic, keep right, don't block trail. For bike riders, it says give pedestrians your right of way, maintain safe speed distance, call out. And then for dog walkers, it says dogs on leash at 6 foot maximum, pull dogs close when there's a passing, so you could mix or match whatever it is that you want to say on those signs. So there's more options available. And I like how it looks non-standard, so it tends to, show up more. I think just one on each end of that rail segment would be pretty effective. So please let me know if you're interested in getting connected with either that National Collaborative or the Richmond folks who are working on that project. I'm happy to make those connections. Beyond that, though, I did want to bring up the 12-mile-an-hour limit again, because I looked into this. I actually heard from some of the council members at the March Transportation Committee about that 12-mile-an-hour speed limit. The audio hasn't been posted for that meeting yet, so I haven't been able to actually listen to what was said. But it seemed like they were not aware of the feedback that BPAC provided, was not presented to them in detail at that meeting. So they didn't know basically what the BPAC's take was on that. And I re-listened to the BPAC audio from September, and staff member Ryan actually presented that limit as a yellow speed limit, a yellow advisory sign, not as a hard speed limit. And I listened to it in detail just to make sure I was correct. And yeah, he only said yellow advisory sign, not speed limit. So I would really mention that to some of the council members. They said they'd be interested in taking that into account with their recommendation at full council. So if there's somebody from this group who wants to make a comment at council or write in for their meeting tomorrow, it'll have to happen really soon. But I think they would really like to hear what you have to say from you directly. And especially noting that the yellow speed advisory sign was described at the September meeting, not the full white speed limit sign. So I just wanted to share that as well. One other thing I was going to say, it is super exciting. I think Emeryville will be the first city to have full 15-mile-an-hour speed limits on its bike boulevards. So I think that's something I really want to promote and give the city credit for if we can get this done. I did note on 53rd Street, where it's happened already, there are 15-mile-an-hour speed limit legends painted on that street that didn't happen on 40. Hopefully that can be a standard with the 15-mile-an-hour limits with the signage and the paint on the street both to make it more obvious. Thank you.
Public comment starting. Sorry, member comments. Trammer, return.
Hmm.
You also not start.
Yeah, I want to not start.
my initial kind of comment, thinking about the problem, what is it that we want to communicate to the different user groups, and what is it that we want to communicate to everyone? And then it becomes how do we want to present that?
I can start just in the middle. I really like the idea Robert proposed about having more informative signs at the beginning end of the trail. I think communicating people to stay to the right on the greenway is going to generally help avoid a lot of conflict. As a regular user of the greenway, I see that people are kind of all over, riding their bike on their wrong side, walking on their wrong side, dogs with the leash across the whole greenway. So I think the biggest thing I'd like to communicate with this signage is just stay to the right. I think it'll help those the problems. And then I do appreciate the cyclist call out on your left. I think having the signage up makes it feel less aggressive to those getting, hey, on your left, doesn't feel like you're getting yelled at as much. It's they're been told to do this. I'd like to see at least signs that communicate those two things. I feel pretty ambivalent about what the speed limit ultimately is on the greenway. It's a fairly short section of trail with a lot of crossing, so it doesn't seem unreasonable for 12 miles an hour if you're going to be speeding up and slowing down pretty quickly over five blocks.
I just want to say I was not sure what to expect with this speed limit reduction program, but I'm kind of blown away by the reductions that are being proposed here. It's pretty amazing. I don't think anybody could go down any of these streets that are seeing big reductions and say, I think this is right where it needs to be. I've been living on Adeline for 11 years now, and there's no part of Adeline and Emeryville where 30 miles an hour even physically makes sense with the way the street is engineered. It's going to be great. It's going to be a huge improvement. I'm very happy to see it. As far as this signage goes, over on Parks and Rec, one of the things we're hoping to talk more about this year is stuff like pet waste. Stuff like that, right? And so one of the things that I think is best to keep forward is nobody wants to be nagged, right? Even if these are behaviors that we want to change, nobody wants to be nagged. So I do really like the, can we go back to the nice signs? You like these for the reasons that have been mentioned, which is the simplicity, the kindness of the message, the community building, because we want to reduce any of this adversarial feeling where cyclists are worried that they're that they've got enemies out there who are like always yelling at them and how fast they're going, and then you have people who have legitimate concerns about like their safety and people's behavior when they're zipping by them. And it doesn't need to be like that at all, because it takes very little effort on anybody's part for everybody to get along in these trails. From like a purely self-interested perspective, if you're any of those parties, the broader the constituency for these paths, the easier they are to maintain and improve. Everybody does feel like they are for them. I agree with this strategy of having common, simplistic signs and then signs with more details on them at important junctures. I would maybe like it if we had, more signs, even if they were simple than just like one or two, just because I think it'll be easier to get this communication across with a varied set of signs. That will draw people's eye instead of immediately fading to the background. I saw that once. It's good. The other thing I would really like to see, if we can get an art tie-in between this and our bike signage that we're working on. I see no reason why they shouldn't look like they're part of the same family. 13 miles an hour, that's what the sign we should have.
I like the blue one up there, only I would like to change the phraseology. The trails makes it sound like a rubber stamp every place, rather than this trail is for everyone. So I feel it's much more focused, but I like the message there. I feel the green one is missing the point about the trails for everyone. So I particularly like the right-hand one.
I appreciated you sharing the extra information about the green one, because it was interesting to hear how there's so many different signs available. And so I'd be curious to see like what the entire spread looks like, because probably they've come up with phrasing that would work well in every bill for a couple of them. But of course, the branding of the green one is like totally different than anything in every bill. So I agree, like taking the branding that we've already decided on and like putting it to use here would make sense as well. Just kind of have like a Emeryville biking branding across the city.
Let me be a contrarian and say two things. One is speed limits are only as good as they're enforced. not everyone wants to feel like they're being nagged, but some people do need to be nagged. I know that's not pleasant all the time, but that's essentially what these signs are for, is to remind folks that there are things we need to do to be able to enjoy, for everyone to be able to enjoy this. So I want to echo everyone's comments about more informative signs at junctures. If we can go to the next, the other slide, that's got all the different user groups and what they all need. And then that's a lot. But if someone says, I didn't know I was supposed to do this, you can at least point to the one sign that they have to. Yeah, because it's condensed. Some people read these, but yeah, I think for the middle, we want to have a positive message of let's all share, here's how we do it, don't run anyone over, don't let Fido go crazy on the expendable leash, bite someone, I don't know.
Is that Comic Sans italic?
Look how it does look like. It's like it.
On the bottom. So we do want the Emeryville branding, and we don't want Comic Sans.
Yes. Not the first time Comic Sans has come up.
It's everywhere.
It's been pretty recent, I feel like.
It's not a substitute for a better message to have it be Comic Sans. It's just like, stop.
We'll make people like look, but do double take. Wait a second. Yeah, I do feel like brevity is really important here. Like, I think maybe having, I like the suggestion of like at each end, My feeling is that when people are entering a greenway from Berkeley or from, you know, like from Ocean, like especially on bike, people are going to be moving pretty quickly. And like, even if there is like this sign with a lot of information, they're just going to zip right past it, ideally at exactly 12 miles per hour. So I think, unfortunately, I think it's going to be mostly people, like mostly accessed by people who are like on foot, walking their dog or just walking or moving more slowly. So I think that for any of the signs that we choose, I would err on the side of brevity. But I also like the friendly messages. I have a specific recommendation, but that's the guidelines that I'm thinking of.
We all agree with the communication, not how it's displayed, but the communication on the path etiquette sign. Is there anything there that's controversial?
I think that's all pretty standard.
Yeah. Some signage already exists about pets, right? Like cleaning up after dogs and keeping on leash, I believe.
We're talking about maybe more signs and campaigning on the subject. Like in the Southern Greenway, at Lucene Park specifically, there's a ton of off-leash dog activity.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same in the northern section. And what I'm thinking is the signs exist, and yet, I guess I'll leave on that.
I don't know what the legitimate term for it is. When I worked in parks, we call them like the no fun signs, where it's like it lists all of the like code, like you can't do it. I know you guys have those on the greenway, and that's what I think of when I see that path etiquette one. So it's like, since people don't read the no fun signs, it's just like we need to pick like one message and blow it up really big, like the one that's the most important for people to actually read.
Yeah, very good. Like we should have the ledger of like everything you can and can't do, but then also
just in case someone needs to enforce something, like it's right there in tiny font.
And then you end up yelling at somebody about their off-leash dog.
Yeah, I mean the thing that I was thinking earlier is you have a sign that says "Be kind," and like you know, you can't go three posts on social media without somebody talking about their social anxiety. People want to do right, but they don't always know. And so if you magnify that basic message, and then here's some details in case you don't know how. I think that kind of thing could be great.
The good action items being a proposal?
Yes.
No?
Yeah, what? We want a sign that incorporates all the things we've just said.
Mm. Lots of detail, but brevity is good.
But if we have to like sign with the rules, the beginning and end, and then two more signs along the way. And it's like, just like keep right, except like that kind of just like keep your dog to the right, keep you to the right. People stay on the side they need and like cyclists call out when passing. I feel like that covers a lot of this. Like, there anything with those two signs, like maybe the pictorial of like the left, right travel that doesn't cover that people would want to see covered? It's like easy to read quickly.
Where does this go after city council? Who's handling it after that?
Well, once city council adopts the speed limits and we start posting the signage, then we'll start posting the trail etiquette signage.
All right, so it's going to go to city council, and then public works is going to start posting signs. Or commissioning signs? I'm not sure.
We'll order the signs and then start posting them.
So, like, I guess what I'm wondering is, like, how much detail are y'all expecting to come out of the city council meeting in terms of what signs are they going to be more general guidance?
Are you asking about the etiquette signs themselves? Or
Yeah.
The city council is not going to talk.
They're just going to be talking about the law.
They're just going to adopt the speed limits.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So the etiquette's like in your guys' court.
Right. We tried separating that at the beginning of the talk, and then I came back to you.
Yeah. Today, or do we want to leave it to the discretion of public works?
Does public works feel like they need more information draft a sign.
Or multiple signs, like a sign strategy.
I think if we have a good direction from you guys, as far as like a design philosophy and what you want us to convey with the signs, I think we could probably take it from there.
You feel like what we have said is like a pretty good list of requirements so far?
Well, I feel like you guys have said
everything.
Yeah.
Sounds like no.
Yeah, it's fine. We basically we need to come up with a motion that everybody agrees on that lays out what we need to do.
How many signs can we acquire or purchase for this project?
The issue is the variety, right? Like we want like maybe two different signs. Is that right?
Yeah.
So like, have to be there.
Right. So like the idea of having like one with a lot of rules that either end, that's, and then like a simpler sign and like interspersed throughout the trail, that's like, that's probably that's probably something we would do. Yeah. That's a good way to think of what those signs say and what information they convey and how they look design wise. That's
something feels like a little bit too much like degrees of freedom here.
Because I'll make a proposition.
I heard crows.
Hey, we have a sign. My proposition is two signs. First sign goes on either end and says this trail is for everyone and has a set of simple rules like the one Bronner showed in Emeryville branding. Second sign says keep right and call out when passing and is pictorial with the two-lane traffic.
And has all of the different...
Not all the people. But so like we don't maybe, have any of them? Maybe like a cyclist passing a...
So like that pedestrian. Center one?
Yeah, but maybe we don't need the walkers and the joggers, just like the cyclist and the walker.
Okay. Who wants to have a here are all the rules type sign? Do people feel strongly about that? Like keep the right, follow a warning, pass left, move side. I'm in favor of that. Having at least one of those types of signs.
I agree. For enforcement.
Yeah, does it already exist?
I feel like there's one on Doyle and 61st.
Let's see.
Like on the greenway part of it, though.
Yeah, I think we're talking about from Ocean until Folger.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like the change from like streetscape to Concord sidewalk.
Well, we can look at that as an example.
But like there's definitely like paint on the pavement that says these things.
I'm thinking like we have the all rule sign placed at some frequency, and then we have the less verbose, generalized, be kind signs interspersed. Bigger text that is easy for everyone to see and kind of understand.
Is that like that one? Like for the entrance of the park?
I'm not sure who's carrying the car.
That's what it looks like, but that's not the location I was thinking of. But basically, I was getting at, like, I feel like you guys already have that design somewhere in your files. So if we just take that same comment, put it on those two spots that they were talking about.
Where you can send it to me, I just can't find it.
Would be cool if we could convince Berkeley to let us put in the stoplight. Yeah, be where people are stopped and have to read stuff.
As far as the depth of the enforcement, the one about keeping the leash is so short, that one wasn't called out even on that long one. So more things have to be added to that as an enforcement.
You realize I got my numbers wrong. It's the next intersection.
62nd.
Yeah. But it looks very similar. It's just like on a pole. Getting to farther intersection. You're realizing how bad I am at streets right now. This is very difficult.
It must be ocean.
A little drive on the street.
Nice ride.
And then go up the driveway part of it.
Street view goes on
there. Oh, back in time.
Oh, boy. You don't have a bike to go through there. You should...
There's no trees.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. Well,
that's crazy.
Maybe I'll take a photo next time I'm over there.
To try and limit the problems of public works, do we agree that we want two types of signs, one type of sign?
I personally would like more than two types of signs, but I also believe in fairly simple designs for them. So, but I understand the whole, you know, idea of like you're ordering X number of signs and if you want to replace them one to one. But the thing is, like, the mini signs, I think what exactly they have on them isn't quite as crucial, right? As long as it's part of the main message. So like, if you've got three different signs that are for the middle of the trail and, you know, you replace your C sign with an A sign, it probably doesn't matter. And I just like, I feel like sign monotony is a serious problem that sometimes we've just got to throw a little bit of extra resources at to chill.
I agree with more than one type of sign.
Yes.
Yes. Great. Okay. We're making progress.
It's like literally right where you are.
I think if you go back,
it's just too old.
I think if you go back one, we can see it.
I saw it. Oh, right here. And flip around.
That's the dog poop sign. That there. One. Is that the one you're thinking of?
We have better dog poop signs now, too.
Questioning my sanity.
No, it's been updated since then.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's what I thought. Okay.
I think this is a good example of the thing to remember with this, which is public communications is constantly evolving. So someday people are going to replace the signs that we're talking about today with something better.
Yeah, I ride this trail every day. I did that. I could go. I did this.
That little green one is very small if you're riding a bike.
Because that's what I'm thinking about all of. Any information dense sign for people on bikes, and like at least half of what we're talking about is specific to people riding a bike, and like, yeah.
So, I mean,
I'm not even against it. I'm just trying to think about
this is why I don't feel like limiting ourselves to a list sign and then one sign is good enough, because we've got different groups we're trying to cue and different different behaviors, right?
Right. It's a good point about, I think the simple sign is for cyclists. The complex sign is for pedestrians. They're moving slow and they can read all that stuff. And they're the ones who can create the obstacle. And so I think it's the target audience for the complex sign are pedestrians. Of all sorts, and that will make it safer for everyone because they won't let their dogs out there running across the other side, so that now cyclists are skidding and running into people because they didn't see the leash until the last minute. So it's I think the pedestrians and dog walkers are the ones that have to manage themselves a lot more than the cyclists, because I mean cyclists are religious and on your left, and you know, pedestrians are aware of that. And so And it's usually thank you. You know. So, I mean, I don't see cyclists as the problem. I see as pedestrian dog walkers as the problem. And so the complex sign is getting the message to the people that usually offend the safety of the whole greenway. So that's my opinion. And I'm a pedestrian.
Yeah, I'm a little shocked here.
As a dog walker, I do have to concur that dog walkers on average need to be doing a more conscious job. I think few people are more aware of this than responsible dog walkers.
Well, it's not your dog.
She wants to be a problem. Yeah, I'm a responsible dog walker.
Right. Are we approaching a direction that is helpful?
We're not.
That's just my impression.
Now we don't have like duration for each of these items on here, so I don't really know. We could go. We could talk about this for 2 hours.
I generally want, like, is this something we can push? If it's coming up for council, I know that's not the best, but I mean, this is a lot for us to talk about.
The trail etiquette is separate from what's going on.
I'll lock in on what we're talking about eventually. Don't.
If you want, this can, you guys can continue the discussion next meeting if you want to kind of stew on it a little bit and just think about it.
I do feel like this is something we should continue, as you all feel about that.
But we could also talk about this endlessly. So, like, there does seem to be, like, some determination that needs to be made for you that is direction that is very clear, rather than us kind of expressing different opinions and not really reaching a resolution.
We agree on the rule sign on either end, and we push for the individual sign for later.
I'm fine with that.
We already have rule signs, and if like we want to improve them, I think proper to show.
Oh yeah.
I found the mystery sign. Yeah.
My feeling now that we've been talking about it for a little bit longer is that just like general signs about being respectful. Like I think specific directions are people are just gonna be like that, like you know whatever that meme is like, oh the Garfield meme. Like I wonder who that's for. Just like be respectful. Like that's, I don't know if that's not enough guidance. I don't know what to say. Like the Richmond Greenway or the Bay Trail in Richmond. Like I'm leaning more towards something like that, where it's just like something that's like, hey, like I should just be kind, you know? Because I've seen those signs on the Bay Trail, and it is that make me like pause more than like a whatever, like call out when you're passing or something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we wanted to say like be kind, stay to the right.
Yeah.
I think staying to the right is the key thing here.
Yeah.
I think often pedestrians don't think about it. They see it as a sidewalk where you can walk on either side.
Yeah. And what I really want to say is like, hey, like leash your stupid dog, but it's not. I think being respectful is like at least this common denominator we can point to for everybody.
Good points.
Well, the signs that had the two green circles, they had something to do with dogs. I'm going to have a photo of those.
Yeah, one is,
two.
One is
your
picking
dog?
Up poop.
Yeah.
Okay. Poop sign. Okay. Never mind. I was going to say, like, the dog signs are out there, too.
There's a great trailhead sign. I can't remember exactly where it is, but it's supposed to be very design exist.
There's one on Bridge View. I had my own sticker to that one. Building sticker. So do we want to continue to try and push for a single sign design? Kind of going back and forth.
I was never in favor of a single sign design.
Right, so I'm not either. This is a single sign side of the room.
I'm also anti-single sign total.
I think it's just me. I mean, I'm not even advocating for a single sign. I just think that like having an elaborate rule sign is just to be ignored, basically, because we already have an elaborate rule sign.
Can we have both and please all parties?
Sure.
We disagree on something? Okay, we're getting closer.
And I think we probably all agree that if you have an elaborate rule sign, that it still needs to have a big 200-point message that cyclists can pick up on the way through, right? Leave it for the people who are going slower to stop and say, hey, what are all these rules? We need to communicate the cyclists at a little bit of a higher speed in general if we want them to listen, right?
Okay, moving forward with that amount of direction. Slightly unclear, not super concise, but does that Do you feel like you know what you need to do now?
The honor spill.
What would be helpful for you?
What would the motion be, I guess?
To allow Public Works to move forward given the feedback that we presented.
So listen to the tape, basically.
I mean, I wouldn't be able to thoroughly articulate our recommendation.
It's just been 20 minutes and we still haven't done it.
Then somebody else could clearly articulate it.
We all like Keep Right.
Keep Right with Emeryville branding.
We all like.
I think that one, I think we're good with. It's just, do we need extra signs on top of that one?
That speak to the individual user groups who need to hear individual things.
Okay, so I think we've got like half a motion, and then we'll talk about.
Can you go back one? Oh, you go.
Back? Yes, once?
Yeah, I guess so.
Which one?
No, that's good.
The little things, like that everyone's there.
Yeah. Do we want to try and agree on a set of rules that we want on the rule side of this meeting then?
The blue and white one.
Anything plus from Elias?
Nothing.
All right. So based on the, get a name for it or something like that.
Comic Sans.
Yes. The Comic Sans. Do we all agree that we should have a big highlighted message on that? If so, what should it say?
I like Jonah's message of this trail is for everyone.
This trail is for everyone, big rules underneath.
No, that's the simple sign, right? That's the simple sign or the complex sign?
Both.
Okay. Yeah, both. That's what I'm saying is that we should not have one or the other. You should have a sign that has a big message and big rules.
And if we're trying to make this with bigger letters, we can probably get rid of the pass left with care. I think people on bikes generally pass on the left. If people are keeping to the right, it becomes a lot harder to pass on the right.
So where it says path etiquette, you put in this path is for everyone, and then you have that list. So it's the blue and white one with the change at the top. That's the one we're agreeing with.
Almost like halfway between that and the one on the right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like pass with caution.
Oh, right.
I was just trying to combine points two and three to make room to have larger lettering.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, simplifying the phrasing is always helpful.
You could also combine one and four. Like, keep to the right, pass with caution, yield to slower forms of transit. It's just too wordy. And leash paths only.
I think we can workshop that internally.
Yeah.
And I think are we all in favor also of trying to use the other bicycle network part in this? Is that feedback from the group or is that just an idea?
The other bicycle network?
The bike signs that we were working on.
The green ones?
Here. Yeah. Is it just green ones? Or we're looking at the new iconography the animals on it and, you know, the bike with the tag along and all of that stuff.
I think having every wheel signed into school.
We all agree that we want secondary signs, not just the big rule signs.
Yes.
And our guidance for that is what? Do we want images or do we want text?
Do we want the green sign? What about this? Do we want to change? I would personally like the glyphs to be bigger. The different users, dog, person falling off a cliff, person with stroller, bike.
One thing that kept coming up was stay to the right.
Yeah. Trails for everyone.
Yeah, I think minimal words and big.
Yeah.
No, so we want words, not advisory signs.
You're in favor of words?
I mean, it doesn't have to be only words.
Just clarify.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, like, I am too.
Greenway for everyone. Keep right.
Yeah.
Little people. Little bikers.
We all agree with that.
Or, you know, I said.
Does that help narrow down what it is we're looking for?
Yeah.
So, yeah, what is the motion then?
No, I think the motion is, you know,
based
on feedback.
Okay. So then the motion is to recommend trail etiquette signage based off the feedback we just delivered?
In the April 6th.
So is that the motion? I guess I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Great. Member Wack?
Aye.
Member Suter?
Aye.
Member Stitch?
Aye.
And Raymond absent. Member Markley?
Aye.
Member Lazinski?
Aye.
Member Banks absent. Vice Chair Khan?
Aye.
Chair.
Aye.
And motion passed.
You did it.
I'm meeting. Good job, guys. All right, moving on to information items. BORP, Adaptive Sports Recreation.
Hi, everyone. I'm Leo Suchinski. I'm the director of cycling and kayaking for BORP. Does anyone know BORP?
Yeah. Water cycle workshops related.
BORP is all over the Bay Area, and actually I want to have you watch the video and then I'll fill in some of the gaps. We do a lot, not just the location by Watershop. And this, they just did this, so it's like refresh.
Bear with me, I'm not sure if the audio will work.
I can talk through it.
There's usually like a hack for this. Give me one more.
Well, thank you for having me, by the way. We have a grant through MTC to serve to companies like yours will come in and they'll be like, oh my God, I can't believe we can do this. You know, my dad used to ride a bike, now I can't. And I'm like, yeah, just get on the bike. Go. I'll cry every day if I like focus on this. So it's really interesting to see. We also have a deep relationship with the city of Oakland, and we serve a bunch of different youth during the school day. And so that would be pretty cool to do that or organize some of that with Emeryville as well. It depends on the city, like when you compare how Berkeley funds their public schools and how, I have to be careful in what I say here, because I don't want to say it wrong. Each school district interprets fulfilling the individual plans for kids with disabilities. And some cities, like, it's almost one-on-one. I'm like, wow, this is awesome when we do programs with, like, Berkeley youth. But then when I do programming with Oakland, that it's much different interpretation. And so, again, rather than the city hiring the rec therapist or like doing all these really formal steps to create inclusive programming, they can hire a board where we're offering these activities. And okay, last thing I'll say, I didn't realize there was going to be more city people here. we worked with the city of Los Gatos. They have Bessona Lake, which is their public lake, and it's cool for biking too, as people are shaking their head. Cool place to start. And we helped them put in an adaptive kayak launch. And they came up to Berkeley to look at our location, and they're like, surely you have records on everyone. Like, oh, if you have a disability, like, you got to have medical records for everything. And it's like, and I was like, listen, who's high risk? Like, you're letting people go out and do kayaks that, like, technically are high risk. Like, and you're not asking them for medical records, you know? Like, who's highest risk for a heart attack or stroke? And they're, at first, they're like, And so really, the reality is, like, as soon as we start making people with disabilities recreating a doctor's appointment, it gets really expensive and really complicated. And people with disabilities are just like anyone else. And so they can choose how many, you know, I'm a cyclist and you all know cyclists. Maybe some people are pedestrians too. You know, the first thing you do when you get a bike is you move the handlebars or you raise and lower the street seat. You adapt it to you. And then you have plenty of family and friends that are like, I don't like this one. This bike hurts my wrist, or this hurts, you know, this seat hurts my bottom. And so people with disabilities do the exact same thing. You know, they're going to see what works, what doesn't. They're not going to, like, you know, be in pain unnecessarily. And so, yeah, if there's any opportunities to do programming or do outreach, we'd love to do it. And we do have some money as part of this grant to do activities in Emeryville. So if anybody is interested, I didn't bring cards, but my email is really easy. It's just leo@borp.org. And you can always email me. You didn't ask a lot of questions, so I talked a
lot. Are we done with clarifying questions? Can we also have public comment and member comments?
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay. It's okay. Questions? Public comment?
Let's say again, Robert Prinz, I'm the director of Bike East Bay. Thanks so much for being here, Leo. Bike East Bay and Borp have worked together for many decades. Mm-hmm. And I just want to, like, stress how valuable a resource they are to have in our community so close by. It's very often not really hard to get real tangible feedback from people who experience our streets and roadways a bit differently, but we need to really incorporate it in a very detailed way in design. So I think one of the things I'd really like to see is a relationship between Borp and the city is opportunities for that feedback on the projects that the city is delivering, how it's working for folks who are associated with Borp, and help that use that feedback to inform future design improvement opportunities and keep iterating. And there are volunteer opportunities at Borp as well.
That's right.
All of the Bike East Bay instructors did a field trip to Borp to just, you know, get some hands-on show and tell with all the adaptive bikes. And it was really informative, and it's really helped them to be able to connect, you know, individuals who are coming to classes with potential bike types that might work for them, and just be, you know, a whole new side of education for that. And having that hands-on experience and explanation from the board team was really instrumental.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember when the Richmond Bridge opened, Bike East Bay had some grant money to fund us to be able to run a couple rides. And so it's always, like, if you look statistically at, like, people with disabilities, they can be hard to find. Mm. And so, like, that grant money was great because it was like, okay, we're going to do, I think we did, like, 25 people each time, and they all have different disabilities. And, yeah, so that's, like, a good example of partnership and how, you know, when you're asking yourself, like, who needs to be at the table, you know, who are we missing? Like, we're a good group, and, you know, we can get folks to get involved quickly. Thank you for that. And the volunteering part. How am I forgetting? Most of what we do is we can't do it without volunteers. And so if you know anyone that wants to volunteer, we've got a lot of opportunities.
You know any Emeryville residents who wants to serve on a city commission?
I actually took one, and I am, we have tons of opportunities to get to give feedback. And so I saw that, and I was like, ooh, because I know some folks that really like to do this type of work. So yes, I will be.
We want them on the board, at least on this one.
Yeah, we'll definitely get, yeah.
I'm going to do the 24th, by the way.
What time?
Applications for this sort of do the 24th.
There you go.
Yeah. I can send you information.
We have our staff meeting this week, so I'm going to make sure everybody gets this.
Yeah,
thank you. We have three representatives that sit on the City of Berkeley's, I'm going to forget the title of it, but it's like Advisory Committee on Accessibility. And it's so helpful because they all have disabilities, that most of them use wheelchairs. It's great to have them in the room. And often, I think I'm really proud of that our founders really pushed to our core. It's not in our mission statement, but it's really easy to, I gotta say it the positive way. The positive way to say this is, we go to a community, we talk to the leaders, we figure out opportunities, and we get folks involved, you know? And I think a lot of times when we talk about disability or accessibility, we're thinking about, like, lawsuits and, you know, code. And we're not saying we don't want code or laws, but I think BORP is really good at being like we have Access Northern California is part of our website. And we have a staff member that goes to different locations where there are activities, and we'll often talk to the folks that run them, whether it's horseback riding or kayaking, say, like, hey, you know, more people would be able to come if you move this over 2 feet, or, you know, if you just put this, you use this language on your website that's, you know, kind of like culturally acceptable. And so if you get a chance, look at our Access Northern California, there's tons of, like, things to do and places to go. And I feel like that's a good example of, like, the partnerships we build.
Are there member comments?
Yeah, I had not heard of y'all until you came in here today, but I appreciate the kind of stuff that you do. This is definitely a community where we're interested in justice and joy, and sometimes justice means bringing joy to people who don't have access to it. Accessibility, as far as that goes, you're in very friendly territory here. You know, we talk about it quite a lot. You know, the standard that we have for pathing in the city is ultimately whether or not, you know, people with mobility issues are able to get around with the, you know, maximum amount of comfort that we can provide them. And, you know, I consider seeing people with disabilities out and about a sign of a healthy urban ecosystem. It shows that you're doing something right, because
Boy, if you've lived in those places that are really unfriendly to just being on the sidewalk at all, you can just imagine, if you've never been in a wheelchair, what it must be like to get down the street. I really appreciate this line of effort. I know I've been thinking specifically about something kind of similar lately, where I'm like looking at some stuff that has to do with video games. And of course, like, this is something that a smaller subset of disabilities impacts your ability to enjoy, but still very much is an issue, especially if you're talking about, you know, trying to make it accessible for older people. But as you say, the disability club is one you can join at any time, right? Anytime. So thank you, and I do hope that we see more of you here.
Yeah, thank you. And just so you all know, we're in such a unique time as far as like electric bikes go, and like electronic braking and shifting, that like what we're experiencing right now, 20 years from now, when we have disabilities, we're going to feel like, holy cow, this is an awesome time to live. So a lot of the folks I work with, same thing. So when you mentioned the video games, we have a micromobility grant too that we're going to be working on, and we'll be definitely offering it to citizens, Emeryville, Oakland. MTC likes to call it the five cities, but that, I don't want to get too complicated with that. There are these different devices that can attach or support people with disabilities. And it's really geared towards the last mile, which you probably, everyone knows. And so this is going to be a really, really light, like, pilot program, but there'll be more to come. And hopefully I'll come back to future meetings with our advertising and everything. But but one of the things that came up were like the different glasses, where it can do like a description of what you're seeing. So imagine if you have low or no vision, like the world's going to be a really interesting place with all the different tools coming. So it's exciting work to do.
Any other comments? I just want to say thanks for coming and telling us more about your organization. I'm going to continue to think about how we can help or contribute to the goal. But one way that we could use your help is, we always want to try and be inclusive and hear different voices and perspectives to make everything we talk about better. So if there is someone who lives in Emeryville who wants to join the BPAC, we'd love to have him apply.
Yeah, one of our staff members lives in Emeryville, and I'll ask her as I volunteer.
Always looking for more feedback from disabled people. Don't hear it enough.
Yeah.
That would be my first thing in the staff meetings, to ask who is interested. So, yeah, thank you for the offer.
Thank you for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Hopefully I'll be back with more cool stuff. And if you go on the work website, our photos and names and contact info is there, and you can see all the different departments and want to connect. It's really easy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Switch. Now you can come back.
All right. I think Eric is up to talk about the City of Emeryville Planning with Cyclists application.
Sweet. So yeah, I just have a pretty short update about this. First thing I want to point out is the deadline is June 17th this year. So we have a little under two and a half months to get this done. And the awards are announced at the end of the year. It's evaluated on five different categories: the engineering of our bike infrastructure, education, encouragement, equity and accessibility, and how we evaluate it. So they call it the five E's. And then based on how you fill out a lot of multiple choice questions about these, which we'll almost certainly need a little bit of city help from, we get awarded a level that's either bronze, silver, gold, platinum, or diamond. Bronze, you have shown activity in all five E's to some level. Silver, you have strong activity in 2 to 3 of these areas. Gold, strong activity in 4. Platinum, strong activity in all 5. And diamond, you meet some metrics that involve cyclist car crashes and several other things. No community has reached a diamond metric yet, so we're just back to be the first. I've started our application. There's a Google Doc that contains it. Anyone that wants added to it and to contribute is more than welcome to. I can get everyone's email or figure out a way to get emails. And we're welcome to do this with community members or anyone that's interested, and they encourage more. The more the merrier for filling out this application. It is rather long. I'm hoping to get as much done as I can in the next 2 weeks. That gives us a good amount of time to coordinate with anyone else that we need outside information or opinions for. We'll submit the application by that June 17th date. And then they'll send out a survey to residents of Emeryville about their experience as bicyclists. Something I wanted to point out that I found interesting in getting through most of the census data that they asked us for, that only 2% of Emeryville residents indicated that they commute by bike, which really surprised me. It seemed rather low. 8.7% walk to work. For reference, Davis has 12% of residents commuting by bike and 11% walking. Berkeley's at 4.1 by bike and 12.9 walking, and Oakland is at 1.8 by bike and 3.5 walking. And the other striking statistic I saw with this, and among those 2% of residents that commute by bike, there's a huge gender disparity. I think it was 3.6% of males in Emeryville commute by bike, while only 0.2% of women, which is enormous and like maybe something we should consider looking into why there's such a disparity between genders. But yeah, that's pretty much what my update is. I'd be excited to have any help on the application that people want to give. I'm going to keep my best crack at as getting my shit as I can in the next 2 weeks.
That's the 2020 census?
Yes.
Got a little funky there.
There's an essay here and a bunch of multiple choice? Or?
It's pretty much all multiple choice. It's largely multiple choice, and they score automatically based on that. And then there are sections where you can elaborate upon things.
Do we have access to anybody for other cities who has done this to like get their feedback or experience? In a sense, like, hey, if somebody did this for the city of Oakland, can we reach out to them?
I know Robert had mentioned helping Oakland put together an application, and you could connect us.
Sure. And Alameda is the most recent. Updated as of last year. So there are changes in the application from year to year, but I'm happy to connect you with Alameda and Oakland. So.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. And then also the award is good for 4 years once we have it, and you only have to reapply by the completion of that fourth year to make the status.
Can I just ask a clarifying question in terms of, can you submit on behalf of the city, or is this...
It was unclear to me, because there is like a thing that's like, who is filling out this application and who is submitting it, and then at some point in the FAQs it said a city official had to, but the application seemed to imply that I could submit it, right. But it's not entirely sure. I definitely want to get it to the city with at least 2 weeks notice for it to be reviewed. Or like whatever the city needs, that would actually be helpful information.
Okay. Well, yeah, we should probably clarify that, and then we could kind of work from there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me.
Any other clarifying questions?
Is there a specific type of assistance that you need? I feel like I'm still a little fuzzy. Like, what percent of it do you feel like you can do your own?
It's unclear. I have not read through the entire set of application, but like just the engineering section is 30 pages of questions.
Okay.
So times five, it's like 100 plus pages of questions is my guess. So like, and like a lot of it does, like I did the first like 5 or 6 pages of like census questions. It's like you go into like the census portal, look up certain tables, pull data from that. So it's definitely going to be involved. So I'm like, it doesn't seem like you have to have done the whole thing to be able to understand it. Makes sense. Like you can like go in and be like, okay, I'm gonna answer like 10 questions like randomly in the application.
I just wanted to know, and I'm sorry for not catching this in prior meetings. I just wanted to note the ATP, we do have a policy specifically about reapplying for the bicycle friendly community, or for increasing, I guess, our designation, and it might be worth it also to look at that recommendation. I don't know if we can.
Do we have a designation already?
We are currently silver.
Oh, I did not know that.
Lapsed.
Yeah.
Oh, and it is
lapsed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The recommendation does include specific suggestions about what was in the last report card that the American Bicyclists gave. So.
super helpful to have. And if we also have our previous application, a lot of the questions are reused.
Is that something you have access
to? Likely. Cool. I think this was 2016. So about going back a little bit. So
okay. He's better than nothing.
Yeah. A lot has changed. public comment?
I'll just say that I know there's a number of questions there. Like a lot of it is not about infrastructure. It's about programs and other types of facilities. Some of it is about education stuff. So we'll already be in touch if you want information about like education activities, number of instructors, things like that. We'll have access to that.
Awesome.
And the program is B6. For that alone.
Yeah. And the last application from Everglades 2016, and they got silver in 2016. So I think a little bit has happened since then.
Any member comments?
Oh, when we meet next, it'll be the beginning of May.
And at that point, we'll have a month and a half or a month that he wanted to.
Yeah. So it seems like you would want to get help or commitment of help before today, probably. I guess you would like it today. Is that right?
Yeah. Or I come back next month and be like, I've filled out this much of the application.
I think the alternative would be like talking to Jeff and saying, like, you blast out, share this and ask if there's a request for help, like, as soon as we come this one day. A question or even a comment, but
no, that's
trying to get to an, like, if you are asking for help, then I think I feel like you should send something out so people know what they're going, what they're up against if they volunteer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. Scoping the project to get help is the way to go.
Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, that's great.
So, just to clarify, would you want to bring this back as an action item for next month's meeting?
Yes, please.
Yeah,
for sure. Hopefully with a largely completed application.
Great. Right. Well, if that is it for that topic, if we can move over to the Bike Tour Every Day ad hoc mini updates.
All right. It says BPEG on there, but it really means Hi, everybody. Matt Anderson, Environmental Programs Supervisor. Really quick update from last time. Actually, not too much to update. A lot of the same things, but I threw a Crow logo on there for your enjoyment. We have the usual stations we're doing this year, where there was one additional station that's not city organized by Stanford Health at 59 Hollis. That probably there will possibly be others as well, but that was just one that has registered so far. The standard fare for giveaways, we have been ordered and are on their way, which is exciting. We don't have the holographic pinwheels this year, so we're stuck with rainbow and rocket ships and, you know, the other great ones. Goo has also been ordered. Bike East Bay bag packing is May 5th and 6th, and pickup is on the 7th. We added one additional item to the passport prizes this year, which is the high-vis strap at the bottom. So we only got a couple of those. We're going to try them, see how popular they are, and then come back next year and buy more if they are. At our ad hoc committee group, there was a talk of potentially doing some sort of screen printing. If that works out, which I personally was very excited for, and there was interest in Emeryville branded merch, as it were, discussed previously. And so these are a few of the logos from the Border Street art concept. And there's a lot of other, I guess, different logos and then just art that was generated as part of that project that could potentially be used. We talked to the artist, Sija Chen. They said that they were welcome to use any of the concepts that were developed. And so just a few examples up here, but any of these would be available potentially for putting on bandanas, or if there are any other
I'm not sure what we can use that gets screen printed other than t-shirts. I don't think the opinion of the city is not able to purchase a bunch of blank t-shirts and give them away or back to wear every day, unfortunately. But bandanas might be a little more in our budget. But if anyone else has suggestions, I'm open to hearing them. And then we'll also have spin art, bike blender, hopefully bike mount, but he brings the transit back to me. And then the passport as usual. So the real updates today, we're looking to finalize our volunteers because we need to order t-shirts for the stations. And so we did this a little bit already in the ad hoc committee, but I would love to just get hands of anyone who would be willing to volunteer at a station. We have at least one person for every station at this point, but if you, even if you already have, actually, if you could just confirm at this point, we got two in 40th.
Stanford.
Stanford. All right.
We got to talk about that corner, by the way. It's a little different this year. 40th and San Pablo.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. And
Black and White Market. Crash.
Yeah.
Still don't know how that happened.
Whether you want to volunteer?
Yeah.
You, well, great. You just did.
Oh, I'm saying that I do not want
to. Oh, you don't? You don't yes. want to.
I probably will. You, I can't commit today.
Oh, okay. Got it.
What's the date?
May 14th. Yeah.
I'm
offered
from San Diego.
Right? No worries.
Whatever station.
All
right. Close. Parks and Rec was doing another crash, but that was going to be early May. I can't remember the date for that, though.
Okay. Well, appreciated. If you do want a sweet t-shirt, now is your last chance to volunteer. You're always welcome to volunteer later as well, but that t-shirt on your right. Come talk to me after this. Let me know your preferred size, and I will get that t-shirt for you. And then just in terms of next steps, we are going to be starting to reach out to some of the, we brainstormed a few businesses, food locations, things like that for giveaways and food-related items. And so are as many of the usual bunch of other places starting to reach out to them over this next month, confirming final activities and doing an outreach palooza. We are also open to suggestions at this point, trying to find any activities that can really boost our visibility along the Greenway. I'm looking at you, Member Wax. I know you love that Greenway and have a lot of great ideas for utilizing it. And that is our most popular station by far. And really, we've had members of the council have volunteered to do, you know, lead any sort of things that we wish, I guess. It was very open-ended. Options if there were to be public events on there, but I guess that's kind of a general question I'm throwing out to the group. Is there anything like a, I guess, bike, bus, or public event related item that you've seen in other cities that you think could work in Emeryville, or that would be interested at least pursuing or researching further to see if it could work? Or are you pretty happy with kind of the way things are flowing currently?
I'd love to see bike bus stuff happening, especially for the school. I don't know. That's maybe a lot to try and make happen this year, but I really would like to see bike bus being part of it.
I should clarify, there is a bike bus. Actually, there's going to be two bike buses happen. Yeah. One goes in the Greenway and one goes over on Adeline. But I'm thinking more of like a public adult event of some sort, like to getting electives and getting people out. Maybe bike buses, not the, actually Portland's funded bike bus. They do a full adult one too.
It's like party bus.
Bike party bus. Yeah, yeah. There we go. 7 a.m. bike party bus.
In Detroit, they call it the slow roll.
Yeah, something like that. I'm just, you know, free brainstorming of ideas for ways to encourage additional people to get out that wouldn't normally be out. So I guess that. There's no good ending to this slide. It's really just, I'm open to additional suggestions at this point. This is kind of the current status of where we are. If there's anything else you all would like to add or suggestions for things to look into as we're moving forward, please let us know, because now is the time.
Did you get my email about stickers?
I did. And we are, yes, we are moving forward with stickers.
Oh, okay.
Didn't note that on here, but the children are in the process of doing the stickers already.
Sure. Any clarifying questions? What comment? My only member comment is that I do know someone who could do a screen printing demo thing. So if you want their contact information, you know. And then I was, when you were talking about the events that people could do, the first thing that came to mind is this like weird alt race thing that they do in Portland where they go around like a traffic circle 500 times. It's like a relay race.
Mm-hmm.
There's just like tons of people just going around a traffic circle. And I don't think we have a suitable traffic circle, but if there's something like that, I could just like bring everyone together. It'd be pretty cool. Like a walkathon for bikes. It's just like around a single block. Now, if you guys have never heard this, take a look. It gets wild. All bikes, weird bikes.
You repeat the name.
I don't know if it has a name. It's like, it's called like the Portland 500 or something. They do like 500 laps around a very small traffic circle. It's pretty wild. There's like hundreds of people, and it's a relay race.
We wouldn't give us shirts to give away at each of the stations, but wasn't there some discussion of like maybe doing a screen printing at the park on the day of the event?
Yeah, sorry, just to be clear, the screen printing conversation was potentially doing that screen printing at one location, so it'd be either a park or 66 and Greenway, and having that as a location for people to come by as an activity center. And then, you know, learn about the bikeways, get your bikey space way, have some food, stop, enjoy, and then also do your own screen printing. And that would be kind of the activity of the location. But that would just be one because we wouldn't have, you know, resources or facilities to set that up all over the place. And the initial thought was 66th and Greenway, but yeah, open to other places if you think they're suitable.
Person I know actually screen printed this shirt.
Really?
Yeah, a little bit of a thing there. A little,
but that was my fault.
Oh, it was his fault. So I don't blame him. Comments? All right, thank you.
Okay.
Oh, two more. We have next planning updates, Melissa.
Yep, town assistant planner, just to introduce myself. We are planning, building, community development, and public works are all working hard on creating our new permit tracking software that has been an ongoing project over probably the last year and is still ongoing since we are trying to figure out how to make it work for the depth of information that we have and also make it so that all of these really dense files we have that track every single project in the city get transported over properly when we're ready to go. So that has been a big project in the background. And then simultaneously, in the month of March, Boot Barn submitted their tenant improvements. So they will be, they're planning to move into the space next to Pivotal Line and Warm. So they've submitted building permit applications. I believe they're still in the process of review, but you should be hearing more about that sometime shortly. Rivian received their building permit at the end of March. So they are hopefully going to start construction, start their tenant improvements, including sidewalk improvements, the new street trees should be coming in. And then also at the end of March, Nellie Hannon had their ribbon cutting. So that's city council members, city staff, toured both the building, which is 90 affordable housing units, as well as the Emeryville Citizens Assistance Program's new space downstairs, which they have been using for the last few months. It sounds like it's been going pretty successfully. Let's see. Navarre Oaks is going to bring one of our housing element programs to City Council. These are updates to the housing or to our zoning regulations to streamline certain types of housing. Some of the specific things have been making, I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. Multi-unit uses in our lowest density zoning district permitted by right. So they don't need special kinds of use permits in order to be permitted, but those will just be allowed and we'll only look at basically the design of the units themselves, as well as allowing for childcare uses, again, by right in our residential zoning. We also, the city has continued to be in conversations with Sutter over this last month, and we are starting to receive application materials for them from them. We don't yet have a confirmed complete application, but we are starting to review internally, and I will hopefully have more updates for you in the future. That is it for planning.
Questions?
Where is the Rivian site?
The Rivian site is on 67th Street. So it's just east of the railroad tracks.
Thank you.
Yeah. Any public comments? Member comments? Thanks for the update. Yeah. And finally, the last information item, we have a public works update with Jeff.
Great, yeah. So last feedback meeting, it was brought up to our attention that Horton 53rd Street had a curb that wasn't painted. It wasn't very visible, so that's painted now. You haven't noticed, it's yellow. The 40th Street multimodal project was approved at council on the 17th of March to adopt the initial study / mitigated negative declaration pursuant to California Environmental Quality Act or CEQA, which is authorizing the project to move forward towards construction bidding. So with that, they were also able to get the National Environmental Policy Act or NEPA clearance due to federal funding supporting this project. So big milestone. Construction is anticipated starting later this year, bids will be coming in later this year with completion of construction, probably in late 2028 is the projection right now. We also celebrated the 2 millionth Greenway user on the 23rd of March. So that's great. The Greenway counter has been counting since the April 1st of 2023. So 2 million users in 3 years is awesome. There's also a counter on the South Bay Front Bridge, if you didn't know. So we have two counter locations in the city. And then work is winding down on the Sustainable Streetscapes 2024 project. So some punch list work continues and minor work on solar lighting, storm drain medallions, bollards, and the traffic signals are scheduled to be completed by end of month. So landscaping for the various green infrastructure or facilities and the new planters along Hollis will begin by the end of the month, takes several weeks to complete. And then I know I already sent it out on the email that I sent to you all, but applications are now open for VBAC through the 24th of April. There's 5 seats that will be termed out. You can reapply, but yeah, please share with your community neighbors so that we can have a quorum moving forward. Also, the BPAC annual report will be at City Council tomorrow. So hopefully Chair Olton will be there.
Yep.
And any of you want to come and support, that'd be awesome.
I have not read it yet. I need to do that.
That concludes my report.
Thank you. Griffin, questions?
Whose seats are coming up to term? You don't mind me asking?
Whose?
Yeah.
I can stick right now.
And then, first, thank you for getting the curb painted. I noticed it after the meeting on the way home last week, last month, which was awesome. Can we get the curb painted in the southbound direction as well?
Southbound? I don't know that.
You're going from like Orton. Yeah, Orton painted. It looks great. Yeah. It makes a huge difference. I think there's a very similar curb to southbound way that's like you're a little less likely to hit because it's not like a.
There's like planters in the front of it, right?
Yeah, there's like room in the middle that like presumably a bike might try and ride through.
Legendary. Hypothetical.
I've only hit it going another way. You know, going northbound. When I first went in, I was like, oh, this is awesome. But then I was like, oh, it was not that.
So to follow up on the members whose terms will be ending on the 30th of June of this year, are member Banks, member Lazinski, Markley, Suter, and Wax. Those are the ones terming out. You can also find that on the BPAC website under members. That's also where the application is. It says apply. Kind of hidden. So working on that.
I was wondering, do we want to give a little bit more of an update on what happened for the 2 millionth user? People care? Because otherwise, you just think about how great of a day that was and keep it to ourselves. But
I'd like to hear.
Okay. We have time for that? Member comments. All right. Clarifying questions. That was my clarifying question. Comments?
I'll do a quick one. Sorry if I missed this at the previous meeting, but is there a status update available on the Sustainable Streetscapes project for the Doyle Street extension? And that's number one. Number two, is the design done for that? And if so, is there anything that's shareable with the BPAC? Because the designs seen previously were incomplete concepts.
I don't have any updates on that. Phil, do you?
Yeah, so we plan to incorporate the Doyle Street. You're talking about the Greenway. We plan to incorporate that design into the next Sustainable Streetscapes project, which we hope to put out the bid this summer for construction in the fall and next year. And the design is complete. I know concepts were brought to BPAC last year, I believe. So it's something that I think it was also taken to transportation committees, and we can share those drawings as well. Yeah. And that may be online, so I may. But anyway, I can send you. Yeah.
Member comments? Matt, do you want to speak or I can speak? So we had our 2 millionth user Greenway fence on the 23rd. I think it went pretty well. So the people were very surprised.
Yeah.
They're like, who are these guys? Why are they running towards us? But it was two cyclists who were the 2 millionth users. We had biodegradable friendly confetti in the form of flower petals that we were throwing into the air. There was a ribbon that was crossed and broken. We had various prizes for them. We had a sash that I think Violet had a big hand in making. Looked really good. What else? Those other highlights.
And there's
with lots of signs.
Bubbles, signs. There's information.
Nothing but cakes.
Yeah, there was an excessive amount of food for one of the
Martinelli's.
Martinelli's.
You had a little toast.
Did I have a little?
I think you made them stop and wait for like a few minutes.
They were into it.
Yeah,
they were into it.
They weren't initially.
What time?
They realized we weren't human trafficking.
That's what they said.
They thought we were human trafficking. What time of day was it?
Afternoon?
Yeah.
But we're planning to do a bigger announcement about it on our social media. I expect that in the next few weeks, but we've just been putting stuff together. There, we will actually announce the person.
Yeah. You know, that's what I was, with them. I was you're wondering not, about that.
I'm going to keep it in the dark, don't worry.
Didn't see anything. And the other prize, which I think we're moving forward, is that we're going to get their name on this little plaque that we're going to put on the counter with two mailings, and then we plan on continue.
Like super expensive.
Oh, okay.
As it turns out, so I don't know if that's good. Yeah.
Any sanctioned graffiti, maybe?
Yeah, can we like.
I suppose we could. And
DIY a little plaque. Just throw it out through VHB tape.
Tape. Sharpie.
Yeah. Yeah, all of those.
Maybe no plaque, but there will be an announcement that's happening.
We'll get other options for that.
I thought it went really well.
Yeah, that was good.
Great. Yes, number of comments. I guess we'll move on to future agenda items. We have one already from you in the next meeting. The future agenda items. The list is pretty deep. We have space if we can add something. Announcements, member comments. My member comment is I like that not all the slides are printed out, but that they are included in the packet, on the agenda, and the email. I would appreciate time allocations next to these because it's helpful to know how long I should be expecting for some of these. And I know we're not on time today, but sometimes there's things that we like to talk about. A long time, and we want to be able to get it all in one meeting. I don't know if everyone else shares the same opinion.
Yeah. It's good to have a budget.
Yeah.
Like a timeout, but allocation for the presentation, Q&A, comment.
Yeah, so be it. Especially for people that are coming from outside, I feel like it's like helpful to know what their expectations are.
Yeah. And that our expectations limit theirs. Yeah. If they're like, okay, you have 45 minutes, they can kind of pare it down or.
I have a quick comment. Favorite intersection, 59th and Hollis. I guess it's just a request for Public Works for the leading pedestrian interval that's been applied, which is great, on the east-west bound direction on 59th at Hollis. When a bicycle is recognized, as is seemingly pretty accurately done, so according to the bicycle detected lights, to have the leading pedestrian interval apply, like it's basically the pedestrian signal on as well for bicycles. Well, so like if you're in the bike lane and you get detected as a bicycle, have the pedestrian signal turn on.
As the light changes.
As the light changes.
And also get the leading interval.
To get the leading interval.
I think it gives the leading interval no matter what, but that's my experience. I don't know, Phil.
You can only do the LPI if it detects a pedestrian.
Right. That's been my experience. Which sometimes I do. Sometimes there's a guy helping me out, or gal, or person, or dog. Mm-hmm. But, if it's just me, we'll not get the pedestrian signal. So it has the ability to differentiate a bicycle from a car. For the bicycle.
And that's to give you a little bit of a heads up. If not actually going yet, because the light's red, of course. But to give you a little bit.
You're allowed to go on the pedestrian interval.
Are you?
Mm-hmm. State law, what, like last year, I'm looking for.
Yeah. In the crosswalk or in the lane?
In the lane.
Interesting.
Awesome. 2024.
So anyway, so we can capitalize on that by, I'm doing this not just for my convenience, but because, as I've said before, I've been hit and almost been hit many, many times at that intersection.
Well, in light of that law, too, we should align the usability of leading interval with people who are now allowed to use it.
Right.
which leads me into saying that I witnessed a close call on the Christie Powell cyclist started going at the pullback because the car took advantage of the fact they had a green light. So it is now cyclists, pedestrians, beware because the car's out of the right of way. And even though the crosswalk light is on and the bike and the beeper is going off, it another close call is the point.
Yeah, I almost got hit there like 2 months ago, and then the person in the car screamed at me. It's like,
yeah, it's a crosswalk, not a bike lane. I'm like, it's green if it says bike on it.
Yeah.
Running against traffic.
They're not going to give way when they feel they have the right way.
Like you're going to hit a bike in a crosswalk and tell the officer through a crosswalk. I mean, that's a bicycle. There's a lot.
Bicycles famously.
Yeah.
The other member comments, announcements, feedback. No. Okay, then we will adjourn the meeting. 7:28. Oh, I guess, sorry. Can everyone just like take some of these, bunch them out places? Because we want to have a deep, there's more out there. I'm taking these personally. We want to have a deep list of applicants that we could choose from. So,
one other announcement, Saturday, April 25th.